Good morning to each and every one of you. I also greet you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Welcome. And it's good to be here. We've been refreshed a lot already this morning in our study, in our faith, in our walk, in our challenges that we would face each and every day, and what our responses may be to that. So Aaron's devotional fits in with the message today, I guess. I was going to share some keys of faith, of great faith. We talk about faith and what our faith is and what faith can do for us, I guess, because our Christian life that we live is a life of faith. If we are to be successful, then we walk by faith. We grow from faith to faith, the challenge is. And is our faith growing? And so we can use the example that Aaron shared this morning a little bit, just with Zacchaeus there, and thinking of, somewhere he was introduced to checking out Christ or putting his faith in him, and he went to see him. And the challenges and the obstacles that he overcame, and, Christ came and sat with him and ate with him and said that salvation has come to his house today. He was invited. He was part of the kingdom of God. And how does that play out in our lives? Are you at the same place you were? Is your faith the same place it was yesterday or a year ago? Or did it grow? Or is there any changes or challenges or not? And what are some keys to our growing in faith? In a couple verses, Romans 1, two verses I want to read first here, I guess. It's Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. Paul was saying here, and here's probably also an example of a song we just sung, in the fact of that if every stalk out here was a quill and the oceans were our ink and the sky was our parchment, could we ever contain or completely write what the love of God is? And so the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts as we walk this earth and as the journey that we are on, the pathway that God has chosen for each and every one of us, is that being shown. We can be a living testimony and an example of that, even though we may not be writing it, as the songwriter says, but we can be an example of that. So in verse 16, Paul, this is what Paul said when he started out writing to the Romans. Well, he first said that I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. In 15, he says, so much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. That's one way of spreading the gospel. He was not, and then what he says in verse 16, I think is an example for us. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So no one was excluded from this. He excluded no one. Jews, Greeks, barbarians, and he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And it was to salvation to everyone that believeth. But what he's saying in 17 is, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. In that example, and him not being ashamed of him, of that, the righteousness of God was strengthening people's faith. It was revealed. No one is excluded. It was revealed from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. So the righteousness of God is by walking in the will of God. And so we see that when Jesus told John the Baptist that he was supposed to baptize Jesus and John didn't want to, Jesus told him he must to fulfill all righteousness. So he did. So if we are to, if we want to fulfill the will of God in our lives, like Apostle Paul was, and many, many others throughout the scriptures, we're going to give several examples. They were allowing God's righteousness to fill their souls, to be filled with God, and from faith to faith, that our faith keeps growing. There are times in our lives when sometimes we just need you can call it a leap of faith, an extra measure of faith. And that's not, that doesn't happen. You could say maybe it happens every day. Maybe it doesn't happen every day. Maybe it happens on a, you know, as a challenge. It's like, am I really going to move forward? Can I do this? Is it possible? But he wants us to do that if we want to grow in our faith. And it had in, so to get us to the next level, you could say, or to get us to the next step as we go through life. God wants to take us in order to reveal his will to us. We must take a step of faith, you could say. And this is what happened. I'm just going to give examples here. It happened to Abraham when God asked him to sacrifice his son, Isaac. You know, he didn't think twice. And I'll read some scriptures on that yet. It happened to Job when he lost everything, including his health. It happened to Noah when he was asked to build the ark. It happened to Joseph when he was thrown in prison. It happened to Moses, leading the children of Israel across the Red Sea. You know, when God told him to hold his rod out across that sea. It happened to Joshua when he was told to circle Jericho for 7 days. It happened to Elijah when he was challenged by the prophets of Baal. It happened to Daniel in the lion's den. It happened to Stephen when he's being stoned. And it happened to Paul during his many hardships and imprisonments that he endured. There was a huge growing in their faith when these things came to pass in their lives. And it happens to you and me, you know, in various different ways, various times or various ways within our lives, it can happen to us that we would take a step of faith, you know. And just to give you, you know, some real life examples, moving to Flat Rock was a step of faith. I don't know, you know, it's like scary and whatever, but we did. And I don't regret it, you know, it's like, but it took. And to grow, to be able to grow, we need to do that. I'll give you another real life example. I'm going to use Seth, for example. I would never have attempted to change my motor in my F-150, but he did. I don't know. He fired it up last night and it runs. You know, maybe that's not, you could say, like actually faith in God, but faith in something is like, we'll figure it out. We can do this. He took some action. He did something. We removed the old one, took everything off of it, put the other one in, put it all back together. And lo and behold, it ran. You know, it works. Is that faith? Is that just giving you some real life examples of faith? Sometimes we're facing these challenges. You know, how could we face that? How could it be if he would have been, wouldn't have trusted that like we could do it or have faith in something to do that? It would have been like, oh no, I can never do that. No way. You know, I'm not gonna, you know, won't even give it a try. But so we have the heroes of our faith in Hebrews 11, you know, 28 to 40, if we want to look at some of those. I don't have it memorized, I guess, but I'm just going to move on. We know what Hebrews 11 did. So let's look at some of the things. I'm going to label them as a key. It just kind of, the word came in the devotional. It was like, it was a key to Zacchaeus and them. Some keys to, you know, great faith or whatever. Keys to faith that is some keys that all these people had that we're talking about. And I think we have them too. We have them within us, but let's just recognize them. you know, they you have this working within your life. And it enables you to continue. It enables you to press on as the scripture challenges. Let us press on to the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. And a lot of times they come about when the natural circumstances of things around you seem to be hopeless or contrary to what you normally would think. You know, how hopeless did it look to Joshua, to Daniel, to Paul, to Joseph, to Noah? You know, and like the hopelessness of anything happening or good coming out of what Zacchaeus did, because he was despised. I mean, his people being a tax collector, nobody liked him. Nobody, you know. And they always accused him of doing it to fill his own pockets or whatever. He never did it. So he was accused from the Roman people that he collected tax from. He was not well liked at all. when things seem contrary. So the first thing is, or one of the first steps, I guess, that we see all these people have, and I believe that we have them too. We understand this. I don't think there's anyone here that don't. We must understand that we're all under authority of someone or someplace. And especially we're under the authority of God. We're under his authority. And we must find ourselves, we must understand submission and authority. Those two things are key. We live in a me too or me look at me world, you know. And those words are kind of like, they're kind of bad words. But we can take example of, let's turn to Matthew chapter 8, I guess. I don't want to, let's use as much scripture as we possibly can here in sharing with these keys, I guess. They're not my keys, they're in the scriptures. Matthew chapter 8, let's read from 5 to 10. Yeah, 5 to 10. Looking at this example here. Here's example of the centurion. So, Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily, verily, or verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. So here was a man that understood authority. He understood subjection, submission, and he came with a plea to Jesus to heal his daughter, who was sick. Well, not his daughter, but a servant, he said. A servant lieth at his house. And Jesus ended up told him he publicly said he has not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. So, and again, we can use the biblical examples of this. You know, Abraham's obedience to God when he was told to sacrifice Isaac in Genesis. Moses is obedient, and he was submitted to God's authority when he was told to stretch out his rod over the Red Sea. We have the example of Elisha healing Naaman, you know. Naaman was required to dip himself seven times in that Jordan River before receiving his healing from leprosy. He argued about it too, right? That river was dirty. Why was it seven times? Why would I have to do this to be healed? But obedience got him the results he listened to him. So he listened to their authority. He took it off of him, and he submitted to it. And what happened? He was healed. Joshua, same thing in taking Jericho. We have the example in Luke chapter 5 of the apostles. So, just starting in the first couple verses, or six verses, and it came to pass that the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night. We have taken nothing. Listen to the next words. You know, about being under authority or being submissive. He says, Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And he beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. I'll read the rest of this a little bit later. But so we see that repentance was also part of, you know, Peter's thing here, Simon Peter. But he was obedient. And the end results, look at the end results, I guess. Look how his faith was increased. I'm going to read a few more. Let's continue this. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought the ships to land, they forsook all, and they followed him. So they left off. Their faith was increased so much by that. It's like, we're going to follow this guy. We left everything back here. It was all their livelihood. And we're going to follow him. So their faith was definitely leaps and bounds or whatever. I mean, a total change, you could say. So the, you know, one of the keys is an understanding of submission authority, and that we are all under someone's authority, and especially under Christ and under his lordship. What is he telling you? What for leap of faith is he asking you to do? Where does he want you to go? What does he want you to say? What directions is he giving to us? Like Jonathan said, sometimes, you know, do I listen to what someone's telling me? Do I help this guy or do I not? Don't think that isn't, you know, God asking you or speaking to you. It's not necessarily maybe that this happens an everyday thing. I don't say that. But there are times in our lives when sometimes we are just seeking and searching and wanting some specific direction, and then we may get a nudge or an instruction from someone or a help, and then what do we do with that? We need to be, especially you could say, under the authority or under the, you know, submission of the truth of God's word, found in his word. Romans 10:17 says that so then faith, we're talking about faith and growing our faith. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. So I think that, I don't think there's, you know, I think God is calling, is, you know, talks to each and every one of us. And he wants us to continue to grow more. Sometimes it's just a simple act. Some levels of faith that says some level, you know, some levels of doesn't require a whole lot, you know. Some of it may be a huge jump, you know. But whatever it may be, we can take that step because we can trust our Lord and Savior. If we want to experience a greater faith, a greater newness or a freshness or a walk with him, we need to first come under his authority. We first must be truthful to the word of God, and we must hearken unto what the Holy Spirit is nudging or telling us to do, you know, to change or giving us as an example. So the second thing is that we find within all these examples that we have, and I found it in like Zacchaeus 2, it says he stood before God, or stood before Jesus there. I'll go back to Matthew chapter 8. Well, we'll stay in Luke chapter 5 here and read a few more verses here. Another example of the second key is worshiping. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And then verse 12, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. There's an act of worship. He fell on his knees. He fell before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he besought him, it says. And he put forth his hand, and he touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. So back to Matthew chapter 8. We also see this thing, we see the same thing of worshiping the Lord, giving him glory, giving him honor, praising him. The first three verses, and when he was come down from the mountains, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper. What does it say that he did? It says he worshiped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So the word worship means to prostrate, to pay homage to reverence, to adore. And if you read the example of Joshua, that's exactly what he did when he met the commander of the Lord's army. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 to 15 reads like this. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and he looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. That's the picture that he had. Here was a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword. And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or for our adversaries? And so he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And what happened? Joshua fell to his face on the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Obedience, submission. Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Again, we see the example of these people that they bowed down, they worshiped, they fell before the Lord, they fell before Jesus, and they paid him. They give him reverence. So we must have that. We must have that attitude of worship, attitude of praise, attitude of reverence to God. And that puts us in a place that we can hear his word, and we can clearly hear and understand more that what he wants to tell us, you could say. Remember, when we come to God, we need to get rid of the carnal clutter, and that's what the rich man, I think that's what the rich man couldn't do. He couldn't remove himself from his sumptuous living, as it says. So he did not hear, what God was trying to tell him. And repentance is also a big part of that, of getting serious with God. The other thing is, another key is, are you convinced of John 3:16? Are you convinced of that? Will you stand on that? Do you know that? Is that so deeply ingrained of you that there's nothing can shake that from you? Your faith in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Because in Matthew 9, verse 28, we have the example of, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men following him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, he asked them the question, believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said, yes, Lord. And he told them in verse 29, he touched their eyes, and he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man knows this. So, do you believe that I'm able to do this? So, my question, is, how convinced? Are we convinced of the ability, of Jesus' ability, and what you believe? What you have faith in him Now, are you convinced that he is able to perform? That he is able to keep you? He is able to, as the Psalms tells us, provide for you in all areas and all walks of our life. Are we convinced of that? That is a key to our faith. That must be concreted within us. We must be fully convinced that God is able to do what he's promised through Jesus Christ. Abraham was convinced of that. You know, God spoke to him, and it says he never wavered at the promise, but he was fully convinced. And we can read these verses, and Paul writes of this in Romans 4, Romans 4, verse 20 to 22. It says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but that's probably the biggest enemy that we have to our faith is simply unbelief. We doubt, I don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what the end results are going to be, and we put doubt in front of that. It's unbelief and doubt. It says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. So we have the righteousness again came through that faith that he had. It said he did not waver. That shows us obedience and submission. And give glory to God, that shows us worship. So these things were in place. These first three keys or whatever are there in this example. And then in Genesis, we can go back to Genesis. In chapter 22, it says, verse 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to the young man, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. We will come back to you. So there again, we have worship in this equation, you could say, in part of this faith that was growing, and it was counted to Abraham as righteousness for him. In Genesis 22, verse 8, then, we go a little farther in that story with Abraham. And Abraham said this, my son, talking to his son that God had asked him to sacrifice, he said, God will provide for himself the lamb to a burnt offering. And the two of them went together. So, you know, if we see that, what God told him there, that's also what he did for us. You know, that burnt offering is John 3:16. Are we anchored in that? And God spoke to Abraham this was through the covenant that he made with him. You know, that Isaac would be his heir. He had told him that. So Abraham believed. He was anchored in that. He believed in the power in that covenant that God had established with him, and he was convinced of this without a shadow of doubt. And from that result, from him believing that, and again, knowing what God had promised him, and what has God promised all of us? The faith that came out of that, the faith that came forth, he was then called, Abraham is called the father of our faith. So, are you convinced? Am I convinced that God is able to perform on behalf of the new covenant that we have established through Jesus Christ our Lord? Are we convinced of that? Do we trust the process? Do we know that the end results are going to be yes and yes, and going to be for his glory and for his kingdom? So another key that we see in all these examples that we had today, starting with Zacchaeus and devotions, is pressing on, pressing forward. Let's go back to, again, back to Luke chapter 8. So the question was, do we have faith. We all say we have faith, and we need passive faith. We need continuance of that. But do we have action faith? Is our faith put into action? And even now, of the keys that we have shared, we find the we know that we have an enemy. And where's my verses at? Starting on Luke chapter 8, verse we'll start in verse 40, I guess. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. There's an act of worship in that verse. It says he fell down at Jesus' feet. For he had only, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. As Jesus was going, there was a crowd around him. And a woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me, strength." So, let's just read it finished, I guess, there. "And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, falling down before him." Again, an act of worship. "She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace.'" So her faith of wanting to touch the hem of that garment, or wanting to just get in contact with Jesus to touch him, pushing through that crowd of people. And even then, you know, the Peter saying, talking to Jesus and saying, "Well, why do you say this for? Look at all the people around you. What does it matter?" You know, it's kind of like the throng of people. And then we go on with the story. We go back to, we continue with Jairus. And this happened while Jairus was following and walking along. This had taken place in the, at the same time. Well, while he yet spake, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." Again, faith. Believe what I can do. Believe what Jesus is you know, has promised them. And when he came into the house, because if we go back, what did Jesus tell him when he first came to him there? Well, he told him, he suffered no man to go in save Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And here again, here's obstacles. They laughed at him. They laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. There, you know, the people in the house there. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should not tell no man what was done. So we see the perseverance that had taken place here in these two examples, and the even the you could say the mockery or the shame that was tried to bring upon them, and yet they still, and we have those things too sometimes, just obstacles that, disappointments, you know, it might be the cares of this life, distractions, it might be a trial we're going through, it might be a tribulation we're experiencing, and we have an enemy, and it'll want to cause us to lose heart. It will want to tell us that, it's not worth it. We don't want to press on. You know, we have an enemy who wants to destroy us. And he has years of warfare at his side. And yet we know, if we are convinced of John 3:16 and everything that God tells us in his word, he's been defeated from day one, hasn't he? He's always been defeated. He will not win. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9, you know, Paul says this. We are hard pressed on every side, he says, yet we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart, he tells us. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. I'm convinced, I believe that God talks to each and every one of us, and, you know, may it be the challenge of that lays before us tomorrow, how to complete a job, or it might be a new job, it might be whatever it may be, but whatever it is that God is asking you, let's just have, you know, submit to his authority, listen to his word, be obedient to it, worship him, glorify him, ask that all the honor and glory be given to him, and continue to press on. Persevere in spite of any obstacles or, you know, experiences that will want to set us back or knock us down, you know. To not try or to not move forward in different things. You know, if Seth wouldn't have started the process, it'd still be sitting there. It still wouldn't run. There would be no gain, but because the process was started and he persevered, and we have it, it works. So will that not work in our faith journey with God? So that's about all I have. I'll just recap this a little bit. We have all the examples that we need to look for in the scriptures, and they all went through some of these very same things, you know. Be it Joseph or Moses or Joshua, or be it Paul or Peter, be it the New Testament, but they, you know, they showed, they was obedient, they listened, they followed what God wanted them to do. When he told them to come, I'll make you fishers of men, it says they forsake all and they went. Submission and authority is a key to our faith growing. Worship is a key to our faith growing. Being convinced of what you do believe, being convinced of John 3:16 is a key to our faith growing, and pressing on in spite of any of the obstacles or the things that will want to rise up and come against us. Even like the woman with the issue of blood there, and pressing through it, there was a lot of obstacles definitely standing in her way. And yet she persevered. And even Jairus there as a father, you know, why did he not just turn around and leave, you know? But Jesus had told him that he would come to his house, and he had all these interruptions that happened in between there. And then the daughter died, and he was told that. And he simply told them to not weep, but she's only sleeping. So keep pressing on.